Okay, right. We now have the privilege to have with us Roy McLoughlin, and we're going to invite Roy to come now at this time. I'd also introduce Jill Behenna, who will also going to be interviewed by Gordon later on. But I'll just say a little bit about Roy. He's the National Disability Advisor to the Church of England and Vice President of Disability. He's the author of over a dozen books, most recently the book Enabling the Enabled Life, which I encourage everyone to read. He lectures in ethics at St John's College in Nottingham, and he has an affliction with epilepsy. We'd like to invite Roy now to come to the stage for that speaking round.
Very thirsty. There's four bottles here. And there's five glasses. Okay, lovely to see you and to see so many friends. It's great that there are so many here. How many are here? 350? It's great. Okay. So, a woman in a wheelchair is used to being overlooked. People talk to the person with her. And then one day she breaks her leg, and it's very obviously in plaster, and everything changes. People think that she is just, quote, a normal person who has broken her leg and in a wheelchair until the plaster is taken off and then she'll be walking again. People talk to her. Things change for her. And then the plaster cast comes off and within a few days she's back where she was, people overlooking her. She is not one of us. She is one of them. The recent campaign by Scope called End the Awkward is based on a survey which showed that of 2,000 people, 67% felt uncomfortable talking to disabled people. It's not surprising because 43% said they didn't know a disabled person. 20% of 18 to 34 year olds said that they'd actually deliberately avoided a disabled person because they didn't know how to talk to them. Yet, the irony is that 85% said that they believed that disabled people faced prejudice. I wonder where that prejudice came from. Let's just have a look at this word disabled. Because Joni was actually treating it as a prophetic word, a stance in society to say something to society. Now, for a long time, as you know, and traditionally, it focused on the body. I have epilepsy, and my brain does not work properly from time to time. And I go for tests, and I take 13 tablets a day, and it's about the body, and we know all about that. But then there came the idea that, in fact, it was about society. It was not just about our impairment. It was about social attitudes. It was about organisational behaviour. It was about the architecture of the built environment. Disability became a verb. It was not something I had. It was something I had done to me. I was disabled by society. I lived in a disabling society. The problem was that these two, the focus on the body and the focus on society, competed with one another. Different thinkers and different groups lined up and argued with one another about which was the most true. And some Christians and their organizations lined up as well, which was not helpful. The fact is that they are both needed, as you all know. I am impaired, I am disabled both by my impairment and by social attitudes and stigma. As my daughter found, who also had epilepsy, there are organisations that will try and ease you out once they find out that you have that kind of condition. Now, one of the issues here is, what word do we use when we talk about people who do not have an impairment? We have this phrase, disabled people, but what is the phrase for people who do not have an impairment? We have used the phrase able-bodied in the past, but now we know that's not sufficient because disabled people are disabled by society as well. We have talked about non-disabled people, but that's a double negative, and you ask, what does that actually mean? Now, the word is abled, because what we want to show is that we live in a society which disables some and ables others. And this is part of the prophetic stance of disabled people. You see, in our society today, we believe in self-made man and woman. We talk about autonomy as the source of strength. Our society is geared to seeing competition and ambition as the hallmarks of success. And there are many disabled people who are at the height of their profession, and they're great writers and actors and doctors and professors. But there are many who are not, of the 1 billion people in the world today who live with an impairment. Now, what this word shows is that they are not self-made people, that they depend on a society that is built in their favour. It discriminates in their favour, just as it disables others. So, what we are saying to them is that what you have accomplished, you have not accomplished by your own efforts. We can tell you that you've accomplished it because society is biased in your favour. Therefore, you should be humbled by that. You should not think of yourself more highly than you should. You should be humbled by the fact that society is working in your favour, even as it works against those who have an impairment. So one of the reasons then why people can be so uncomfortable around disabled people, as the Scope survey showed, is that they realise that their lives are fragile, that their success can be ephemeral, that they only are temporarily able, and that at any moment things could change for them, and they could be thrust into a world that they are not prepared for, and that they have disregarded they know that the privileges that they enjoy could disappear. And the awkwardness is such, particularly for young people, that they would rather avoid a disabled person than engage with them and learn from them. What Joni was saying there was how people lose out by not engaging with one another and including disabled people in their relationships. Abled people can also then feel in that awkwardness the knowledge that they are denying relationship. And that society that we live in, it is a society of individuals and not of relationships. People's too busy to invest in deep relationships. People with their iPhones and their laptops moving at speed through society, accumulating consumer goods, and yet lonely because they haven't the time to invest in relationships. And again, many disabled people are moving with their ambitions fast through society, seen as successful according to the values of society, but many are not. In order to develop friendships with many disabled people, we have to slow down. We have to spend time. We have to open up to one another. And it is obvious from this survey that many don't want to do that and have organized their lives in such a way that so many of them don't even know one disabled person. What a travesty of a civilized society. So I think that there is an important message that comes from disabled people to such a society which is prophetic, which says that the accumulation of consumer goods is destroying you. The abandonment of rich relationships is making you lonely. And if you would change your values, and if you would slow down, and if you would invest in relationships with people that are different from you, you would find that life is richer than you ever thought it could be. There is a third word, which is this word enabling. What does it mean? If disabled people need to discover that God sees them as made in His image, and if able people need to be careful lest they think too much of themselves and be humbled before God, then both need to do so through the enabling power of the Holy Spirit by the grace of God. And that enabling is the heart of the gospel, that you and I, however unconventional our bodies are being enabled by the Holy Spirit to become the people that God always wanted us to be. It is about formation. It is about transformation. It is about the impact that we make as people on the societies and the neighbourhoods in which we live. You see, when we talk about disability from a Christian point of view, we are not talking about some dry and crusty subject that a few academics are interested in. We are talking about the heart of the gospel. It is not a separate subject. It is the heart of the gospel. I remember a speaker at a conference I was at, and he put up a satellite picture of his church and the parish round it. And if there was somebody in the house in the parish that had an impairment, there was a dot on that house. And if they went to the church, there was a dot on the church. And there were many red dots on the houses round the churches. There were disabled people that lived in those houses, but there were no red dots in the church. None of those disabled people went to that church. What did that say about the church? But also, what did it say about the gospel? What was the message that those people thought the church was conveying? The great German theologian Dietrich Bonhoeffer, who was martyred for his opposition to Hitler in the Second World War, once went to a village called Bethel. And in that village was dedicated to the care for who had disabilities. And he wrote to his aunt Julia a letter saying, "I have found the church that shows us what the church can be like." Now remember, this is one of the greatest theologians of the 20th century. And you wait with bated breath to find out what this church was like. Was it a mega church of hundreds of thousands? Was it a church with a great rock band leading the worship? What kind of church was it that Dietrich Bonhoeffer thought was the church that showed what the church could be like? It was a church, he said, where people from the university came and they mixed with people who came off the street, and they mixed with people who were extremely disabled, especially many, many people who had epilepsy, which was uncontrolled, and throughout the meeting were having seizures. Now, there are many middle-class churches in this country who would go a million miles to avoid that kind of church. And maybe one of the reasons we have problems in our churches today is that we want them to be so neat that many people don't find a place in them. I had an email from a friend the other day, and she said this: "On Ash Wednesday, I was returning from abroad, so simply went to the first mass I could find that was available, and thus went to a church I'd never been to before. It was a Roman Catholic church, and when the priest came in with servers, crucifer, acolytes, incense, the whole works, he was a wheelchair user, using an electric wheelchair. The whole mass happened as a normal Ash Wednesday mass, with the priest adjusting the height of the wheelchair depending on whether he was preaching, ashing people, or at the altar. This was the norm for the parish, and there was no comment from anybody. As far as I could see, the only possible alteration was that the aisles might have been slightly wider to accommodate the wheelchair." I read this out to my wife, and she said, "So?" And she said, "We should be saying so. We should be saying so. That's just normal practice. We have to comment on it. She said, you shouldn't have to read this out at a conference because you think it's encouraging. What is the message going out from our churches today? This conference is prophetic. You being here is prophetic. You are saying something to churches that want to be neat and tidy and don't want to have disabled people in them because it's too much trouble. You are not a church that is glorying in the true God.